For all these nerds, you would think they would have a little bit more creativity.
Well, they don't like sports.
Welcome to Debatable, a fake television show where we litigate whether Ivy League schools' mascots are good or not.
It's nothing to litigate. The answer is no. Harvard is the Crimson. No. Brown is the Bears. Cornell's the Big Red. Dartmouth's the Big Green. Like, what
Yale is the Bulldogs?
And Bulldogs are like, boys? They're designed to die. They can't even procreate.
Yes, that's true.
Like, really fake bad. Living things anyway.
Be a turtle or a weather event.
The only way to save this is to let the Louisiana Raging Cajuns into the Ivy League.
Oh, now we're talking. Now we're talking.
Starts today.
I mean, I have to admit, being a weather event is pretty cool. A very scary weather event. I kind of like it.
I also feel like if you add Raging in front of anything, it gets better.
Or worse.
Honestly. Well, yeah, worse. Worse is also definitely on the table. Alabaster, many things are happening in America today, but I'm glad to be here with you guys where we can find a distraction from crumbling American institutions by talking about the Knicks.
That's right. We're going to start. We're going to start today with the NBA draft where hope springs eternal. And my question for you all is, what are your thoughts on how the NBA draft shook out last night?
Did anybody bet on the draft?
Did you write that beforehand, or did you just come up with? Okay, so you were I'm gonna get him today with this one because the world's falling apart.
It's the promoted tweet for this episode right now. So you know, well, hand up, pre-writing the joke.
Sorry, Charlie. No, nothing's wrong with it. I just was wondering because I like to imagine you sitting there like, man, I'm gonna kill him with this one. All right,
Kevin
Charlie.
Clark's like, are these guys really gonna go on a digression about the Supreme Court right now? No, we are not.
I'm just looking
Kevin
for the
Clark.
Twitter link.
We're not. Very good. I actually wanted to start with Kevin because I believe the answer to the question I wanted to ask is no, none of us bet on the draft. And if you did, you probably lost a ton of money because Paolo Banchero went number one to Kevin Clark's Orlando Magic, Dominique. It is rare to have an emissary from the Orlando Magic in the MSM anywhere, but we have it today here exclusively. So Kevin Clark, the floor is yours.
I'm calling for an ISO here. Clear out.
Oh, wow. Wow.
Congratulations to the Orlando Magic for successfully running a smokescreen for the first overall pick. Believe that's a first. You got me. You got us. You got Woj.
Yep.
You got Woj. Congratulations.
Everybody.
You got Woj. I guess I have a couple of questions. The first one is why you didn't work out the guy you took with the first overall pick. The cope here, and I've heard a couple of things about it, is that they didn't work out Jonathan Isaac or Jalen Suggs either. Is that supposed to make me feel better? They zoomed with them. They zoomed with
them. Oh,
wait.
And
we know
I didn't know that part.
They zoomed with them. And I will say, if we've learned anything over the last 2 years, it's that Zoom is very productive and everything gets done on Zoom.
Clearly.
Everybody gets locked in. There are three reasons, I think, to run a smokescreen. The first is if you wanted a trade package, you wanted to ratchet up some hype for one of the Rockets or Thunder to panic and say, we got a Godfather offer, the Magic, for the first overall pick. That never came. And there's not a lot of evidence that they even tried to do that, to try to execute that. The second is that they like the lack of leaks, that they like the mystique, and they wanted to keep people guessing. Again, that comes at the expense of doing due diligence on the first
Magic.
Overall pick.
The Magic, Kevin Clark. People are saying, many are saying the Magic, not magical enough. So this does help address that issue, yeah.
And the third option is that they do not know what they're doing. And as someone who has watched 20, 32, 33 years of Orlando Magic basketball.
Jesus. I didn't even think that was possible.
I'm leaning heavily towards number three. Now, I think that Banchero can win Rookie of the Year. I think he might be the best player in the draft. A lot of GMs think so. But I'm sitting here today, and the only thing we can judge, Fox, we were talking about this before we started here. The only thing you can judge is the maneuvering and the way you approach the draft process. Right. And that's why I'm discouraged. There's no reason to not do all of the homework you can possibly do. You're the Orlando Magic.
Well, okay? I'm sorry. I want to give you your space. Are you done or is there more?
I mean, I'm never really done. But this point has been made.
Okay. I feel like you should have been done like 15 years ago, honestly. But Dominique, I believe your turn. Yeah.
The fourth reason that you didn't bring up is they care about us. They love entertainment.
The Orlando Magic do not entertain or make anything more fun.
They're turning on a new leaf. They are, yep. Because it was more fun. We enjoyed. I mean, our colleague Woj has got like a 99% hit rate, but for a few minutes last night, he was wrong, and it was pretty fun. And like big surprise is fun. That's theater. So that's what they're doing. As someone who's not a fan of the Magic, I don't care that they're sloppy and disorganized and maybe confused and may not have any reason for why they did it. It was fun for me to be like, it's either going to be Holmgren or it's going to be Smith. What? I enjoyed it personally. So thank you, Orlando Magic. And as far as like, they should do their homework on all of the people that are in the draft, that makes sense. But why do your homework, spoken as a true athlete, when everyone else has already done it?
Okay. Like, why do your homework when the other smarter kids can do it for you? And you can just go on Wikipedia.
How do you get to them being smarter? Somehow I got the same grade by doing no work. I think I'm the smarter kid. So if there is a whole industry built up around getting all this information and they decided to draft the person that the industry told them to draft, because by and large, Paolo Banchero was considered, even though he wasn't projected to be number one, he was considered the best player in
this
draft.
Most NBA ready, right. Rookie of the year, so, favorite, all of these sort of defense, like backhanded compliments.
In defense of the Magic, good job. Don't do your homework if the nerd's going to do it for you. You can just peek over at their mock draft.
But hold on, Kevin, I feel like Dominique.
He's so angry. He's not enjoying the show at all.
No, Dominique's defense. First of all, what you're calling for is what happened, which is this is the first overall pick that was based entirely upon the he got the dog in him meme. That's all it was. That's all this was.
Yeah, the x-ray displays the dog inside of
Banchero's
chest. And
you're saying the payoff for this whole thing is the Magic won the lottery for the first time since 2004. They've been in the wilderness. They were one pick off from a handful of superstars. Okay? Look, go through it. It is ugly. It's the exact opposite of the Kings, who pick one before, which is even worse. But one pick before, the Magic's lottery picks have tended to be franchise-changing superstars. But what you're saying the payoff is was an Ashton Kutcher-style prank on Woj.
Oh, so you try to tell me Ashton ain't put out hits? I mean, that show was great. Ooh, arf, arf.
Yeah,
not that dog. It's got to be good. Another dog.
I just like how we have finally. By the way, Dominique's sort of defense of the Magic is also the great indictment. It's like, not nerds running your team then, I guess. Like, you don't have the kids doing all the homework, doing the job where you're supposed to do all of the homework. Unlike, I should point out, the New York Knicks. The very diligent. Can we get to them now, Kevin? Are you working through? Are we good to move through? Because what the Knicks have done here, and I'm not even like, I'm so glad I'm no longer like invested in this team emotionally. I am not the Kevin Clark of the New York Knicks. I have no emotional attachment in
Sixers
this way. As a Sixers fan, I have moved on to even more traumatic pastures. But what the Knicks did last night is so funny to me. It's so funny to me because what they're being hailed at in terms of like relative marginal doses of enlightenment, forward thinkingness, is merely trying to radically undo everything they did last year. And they're doing it by saying, you know what? We could wait for all of these big contracts, right? Kemba Walker, Evan Fournier, Alec Burks, to sort of get to the next last year of their deal, at which point they become actual assets that teams would love to have. Instead, they're saying, what if we just start giving all of them away, attaching draft picks to them in order to sign to a max contract Jalen Brunson? Yeah. And that part, the treating of Jalen Brunson like Kevin Durant. Dominique, did you know that they're hiring Rick Brunson, former Knicks point guard, dude's dad, Jalen's dad, to be an assistant? Like, all of this, 3 weeks ago they did that. All of this is endlessly funny to me.
So you can have good results with a bad process. You can have bad results with a good process. I think while we all like to say cute things like process over results, all we actually really want is I don't want somebody praising my process. I want a big damn trophy or a pile of damn money, which Jalen Brunson may get. I don't think they're going to get the big damn trophy, which is the problem. And the Knicks fans, I know, Pablo, you say that you essentially are no longer a Knicks fan, but I know you well enough to know, let them get hot. Let them make the playoffs, and then you're going to put your shirt back on immediately. But fortunately, they ain't going to do that anytime soon. And it's so sad because it was just a year ago, right, that we were praising all the new leadership, and we were so excited. Look what they made out of Julius Randle. They're doing so much. They only got beat by the Hawks in the playoffs. They are on the rocket ship to the moon. And now they're in the same or worse place than they were before they brought in all this new management that is well-connected with all the players that they have not gotten yet.
Ding. Yeah. The Jalen Brunson thing, Kevin, I don't know how you guys feel about when former agents come GMs. Yeah. Like, sometimes it works out, right? Bob Myers, GM of the Warriors, was an agent. Rob Pelinka was an agent. Not so much working out over there. Leon Rose is somewhere. Yeah, but I think that you would find a hard time.
Yeah.
Identifying exactly Rob Pelinka as the guy who's responsible for it. Leon Rose, formerly of CAA, big agent, Jalen Brunson's agent, is now running the Knicks. And there has been an open question. Is he good at this? And so far, to me, the answer is no.
He's bringing in a bunch of guys he knows. Like, that's the sign of...
Thibodeau, also a former client.
A bunch of CAA people he has connections with. Like, this isn't... He's running the Knicks, like Entourage or something. Like, he's just getting his buddies in and just saying, like, all right, let's bring this in close. And that's not how you build. Like, what are the chances that the 15 best players that Leon Rose can identify all happen to be his friends like 2 years ago? Like, what are the odds? What a coincidence that happens to be. Or, and you know, he's been very close with Rick Brunson for decades. And the idea that he's clearing cap space for Jalen Brunson, who he represented and all that, like, that is, I think I heard Brian Windhorst say that probably, you know, Leon Rose probably held Jalen Brunson within the first couple months of his birth, okay? And that's what they're clearing cap space for at this point. And
so you're saying that Leon Rose brought in Jalen Brunson for his very first workout?
That's right. Yes.
So if they don't work him out, well, I guess there will not be free agent workouts. But if there's no meeting, there's no Zoom between them, I think we'll be all right. Leon Rose knows him pretty well. But I do appreciate the like collegeization of the NBA in that we get so many family members employed. I love it. Like, we're getting brothers drafted. We're getting brothers signed. We're getting dads assistant coaching jobs. Not that his dad's not qualified, but it ain't a coinky dink.
Yep.
I mean, I'm saying not that he's not qualified because I didn't do the research necessary to suggest that he's unqualified. But I mean, he was an NBA point guard.
There's some Southern college football schools, which I will not name for legal reasons, who are famous for getting jobs for all sorts of family members a player likes to come to his team. And now the Knicks are doing it, and I think that's extremely admirable. It's very SEC of them. Who's had more success in the SEC?
So Rick Brunson, to his defense, right? Like, longtime former NBA assistant who was just coaching high school, though, for three years most recently. And it's sort of like, well, what's the – okay. But beyond that, the Knicks are not above this. They tried to – they hired Quincy Dubey, former Kevin Durant friend, as their assistant coach. And they brought in all of these guys, and it's just not worked out. And Kevin Durant obviously is not Jalen Brunson. Yep. So, you know, there is that.
Didn't Mark Cuban invest in Dirk Nowitzki's documentary? Like, I am here for extra cap. Like, financing, I am down for finding ways to circumvent the cap and put more money in players' pockets in their family.
Oh, TB12?
Bleep your cap.
TB12?
Yeah, TB12. Whatever you can concoct, I'm down with it.
Yes.
Getting nervous? Are we going to upset our partners?
No. All I did was just randomly numbers and letters.
No, I just happened to be
TB12.
Nervous. The marker. The marker got nervous.
Oh, no. I was intimating that there could be some chicanery around the free agency that we're getting to in the next topic.
So,
I was agreeing vigorously.
One bit of cleanup here. Yeah. I said Quincy Doobie. I meant Royal Ivy. That was a giant brain fart on my part. My bad. Second thing is, it's way funnier if it's like Mark Cuban doing this, and he does it by giving people like Shark Tank deals. Like all of these guys have to come on Shark Tank, and they pitch sham businesses, and they approve all of it.
Yeah, he just hates Porzingis' idea for a car wash. I do want to say, the Knicks fans have shown how riled up and how fired up they can get for a playoff series loss. They've shown that that has been their apex mountain. They can get very excited when they almost beat a team in the playoffs. And Leon Rose is adjusting and saying, hey, why don't we bring in a bunch of guys who will get us to the first round? We'll lose and make a bunch of fun videos, and that's what we are anyway. We're just a meme team.
It kind of reminds me a little bit like the Knicks approach, or at least in general, this overall approach to recruiting reminds me of like when I was being recruited to college and how they, like, coaches and teams like thought we were dumb. And they thought we would decide on the wrong things or silly things. And they would waste their time making sure the women who greeted us were like extra beautiful. It was like, I'm not coming here because the lady who opened my door is hot. And then they would do like take us to strip clubs, or the coaches would try to dap us up and mention rap songs that they listen to. Like, what are you doing? How soon am I going to get on the field? How likely is it that you are going to be here? I mean, how likely is it that I'm going to get to the NFL from here? These are the questions that I think most players have. And I think the same thing is true of these guys. They don't care. Yes. I don't think that you are improving your chances of getting a player because you hired someone that they cool with, or someone else who used to represent them, or someone who may have been like half of the chromosomes that made them like that. I don't think any of that is part of this. I do think that players make their decisions based on normal things like, how much money can I get? Am I going to win a championship here? Can I have fun in this city? Am I going to be happy? Like, I just don't think that it matters.
But I feel, Kevin, like Dominique is very much speaking as not a Kevin Durant here, right? Because I feel like the move is, if you are one of those recruits, you don't get offered those things and get swayed by them. I feel like you implicitly demand the things you want, and then they just give them to you. Right?
Well, I'm not talking about that. I understand that. But what we're having is the things happening beforehand. Like you mentioned, someone who was close to Kevin Durant getting a job. That is tantamount to the coach coming to my house and saying, you heard that new Hova? Get the hell out of here. Like, can we win a championship or nah? Like, are you going to max me out or nah? You got some space, some cap space? What are we going to do? Like, that's what matters. I think that's proof to my point. Kevin Durant got all the things that he wanted. He was going to get that no matter where the hell he went. If he told the Nets to hire some dude, they'd have hired him. Like, we see it time and time again. I don't have a problem with the players demanding these sorts of things. I have a problem with the teams being dumb enough to think that it's going to help. That's the part that blows my mind.
Alabaster?
I just want to note, and we'll move on to the Kyrie and Kevin Durant of this all, but KD did demand someone get hired, and that was DeAndre Jordan. And then he demanded that he started, and they traded Jared Allen. So, you know, sometimes his recommendations don't work out.
I wasn't arguing that his recommendations were good, but that was a good point.
I just like the idea of some assistant football coach practicing the word Hova in the mirror before going to dap up Dominique.
Perilous. We got out of this segment without a breakdown of mid-Atlantic strip clubs in the mid-2000s.
Oh, they were depressing, man. Depressing. I remember, I don't want to say the player's name.
I thought we got out of it, but here we are.
A lot of Old Bay. Just smelled of Old Bay.
Maybe he doesn't want to be identified as this, but when I visited Pittsburgh, they took me to a sad place. It was so sad. It was so, so sad. It was like,
that belt was real rusty, is what you're saying?
It was a lot of guilt tipping happening there. Like,
let's move on to Kevin.
Yeah, get us out of here. Don't ruin my Friday.
So this story sort of took over the draft last night, and I think it's fascinating. And I want to ask you guys, at this point, do you expect Kyrie Irving or Kevin Durant to be on the Nets next season?
So I 100% expect Kevin Durant to be on the Nets next season. Kyrie Irving feels like a coin flip to me at this point. And I say this because even before we got Kevin Durant on his podcast with Eddie Gonzalez today, talking about how he's deliberately not going to interfere, essentially, with Kyrie Irving's free agency decision. He's not going to twist arms with Nets management. All of that was both implied and pretty obvious to me from listening to him actually talk today. It was also just the reports. We were laughing at Woj getting some stuff wrong earlier in the show. I want to laugh at how Shams phrased some of the stuff about Kevin Durant's, quote, threats about what would happen if Kyrie decided to leave, that, quote, he would mull future options. Yeah. Like, if that is the most toothful language that you have from somebody, stop or I'll mull future options. Like, come on, guys. This is the draft. Like, it's time to show up, put up or shut up.
And I like, don't make me mull. That's a good one. Is he just don't I'll mull the hell out of you. I will mull this whole thing down if you don't mess around and let my man leave. Oh gosh.
So yeah, I mean, we've been saying this, Dominique, like reading between the lines here. I don't think Sean Marks goes and does that press conference to start with. Kevin, remember that one where he's like,
yeah,
we need people who commit and all that stuff, just subtweeting Kyrie or just actually addressing him directly, right, depending on your mileage on that one. I don't think that happens without Kevin Durant's blessing. And Kevin Durant, by the way, has a 4-year contract. Yeah. He does not have a no trade clause.
Stop it. I need you to stop with that. You and everyone else who covers this sport, like, I'm not mad at you. Like, I understand the point, but saying how long a basketball star's contract is does not matter. That stopped mattering officially. Like, unofficially, it stopped mattering quite some time ago. It stopped mattering officially when James Harden did what he did last year.
Anthony
so
Davis.
Stop it.
Yeah.
I don't care how many years he has left on his contract. They are so talented and so special and such unique assets and skill sets and human beings that they can sign whatever they want and then rip it up and you can't do nothing about it, or you can just tank because they've made so much money on top of the fact that they're so valuable that Kevin Durant's lifestyle is not going to change. Yes. If he does not play another, I was going to say down, but if he doesn't play another basketball game, it's not going to change. So the money threat, like, it's not really much of a threat to them. So what are you going to do? If he says, I don't want to be here, then your only hope is that he, which Kevin Durant is, or some player is sensitive to the backlash that they're going to get. That's the only hope, because otherwise they can hold you hostage.
Yeah, every NBA player can just gain 15 pounds and leave. I mean, we saw that last year. You're either a couple buffet stops or a fat suit away from getting your way to town if you need it. There's only one way out of this, and I'm not the first person to propose this.
Just imagining a fat suit for KD now.
And it's time. He might not be able to pull that off.
It would be amazing.
Yeah, my mind went to Chet Holmgren initially, where it's like, oh, you can gain 15 pounds that easily?
We're opening up the lines of communication. We're going to trade Kyrie for James Harden again. We're just undoing it. We're going back. We've solved it. It solves everybody's problem. Gosh. Harden with Durant.
And Kyrie allegedly, you know, according to that list that was leaked, the Sixers are on it. You know, they're on the list of teams that he would approve, which is another bit of theater and stagecraft, which I find endlessly absurd. But here are his teams of interest, according to our Adrian Wojnarowski. Lakers, Clippers, Knicks, Heat, Mavs, and Sixers. And to Dominique's point, you're right. Like, anybody can hit the detonate button on a contract whenever they want if they're good enough. But it does feel like this would be, I mean, he just signed it last year, I believe, Alabaster. This would be yet another new test of, like, how agitated the CBA renegotiation is going to be come the end of this year.
Well, and I'm also, I'm not sure that it would be the worst thing for the Nets either. So, like, that's – they don't –
which part?
So, they're in a situation right now where they can't win a championship unless they find someone with talent equivalent or better than Kyrie to get on this team. And Kyrie is not reliable enough for you to win a championship. So, they do not have a championship roster. They don't have the wiggle room or the expectation that they're going to bring someone else in to replace him that's going to be good enough. So, like, they took a big swing, brought all these people in. The best thing they can potentially, the best thing they can do now if they're looking to win a championship in the near future is move on. Like, move all these assets and do what OKC is doing. They have, like, 8 picks in the first round of next 2 drafts. But Wembanyama is all we care about. I got it right today, Baba.
You did. Dominique got it right, Alabaster. The Thunder, by the way, to just put a footnote on our previous discussion. Yeah, I mean, like, if you believe they know what they're doing, and I happen to be, I think, in that camp, I believe they're well run. I mean, they got one real super high ceiling skinny kid, Chet Holmgren, who we just laughed at, but might actually be the best player. And they got that, I think, another French kid, right?
Yeah.
A different French kid.
Ousmane Dieng.
Usman Jiang, yeah. Yes, who is like one of those kids where it's like, they're kind of the Spurs now, where it's like they do things, and based on their brand reputation, I'm just like, oh, that must be smart.
They got
just because I don't know.
Two Jalen's too. I also like, I think it's
double Jalen's.
I don't know how good this year's French kid is, but it's smart. Bring a French kid in OKC, smooth out whatever cultural things we have, so it's nice and smooth for my man Vic when he gets here next season.
Is this like a scouting, like a advanced?
Yeah, that's what it is. He's like, yeah, he's
advanced team. Yes, yeah, the president has an advanced team.
That's yep. It. They're sending him in. He's gonna bump up the restaurants.
He's gonna test those baguettes.
The escargot in OKC, yeah. Subpar. Let's bring in some real French chefs.
Wow, some Sam Presti shade, Alabaster. The last All-Star he drafted was James Harden, okay. But he also, you know, drafted Kevin Durant or Russell Westbrook. But anyhow, what was your original interjection here?
Sorry, what I was going to say earlier was, I think it's back to the Kyrie, Kevin Durant stuff.
Yes.
I think the thing that's fascinating is the game of chicken going on with the Nets, because the Nets are in a uniquely leveraged position where they gave up all their picks to get James Harden. And so they can't just blow it up and suck, or the Houston Rockets are going to end up with all these top five picks. Like, they're teetering on the point of being, you know, the Nets from the KG Pierce era, where it's like, mm-hmm. We have to start from scratch. We have nothing. We have no picks. So, like, normally I'd be like, all right, the Nets actually have some leverage over KD and Kyrie. Kyrie doesn't have a robust market. Kevin Durant's under contract for 4 years. But given their lack of options of how to manage this, it seems like they kind of just have to pay these guys.
Well, hold on, though. I think this is where the keystone issue of this entire story that no one has, I think, the ability to report out with real definitiveness is whether Kevin Durant really cares if Kyrie Irving stays or goes. If Kevin Durant is there, they're a contender. They are, just by virtue of his talent in the Eastern Conference. He's just that good. You find pieces around him, they can do that.
They're not
yes,
a contender.
No, Dominique, yes, they are.
They're a playoff team. They're not a contender. Like a championship contender with just Kevin Durant and those other guys. Like, you're going to have to get –
Those other guys. Ben Simmons. Yeah, I believe.
Stop it. We're going to relitigate that right now. No, we're not going to. The point, I'm not going to get hostile, and I'm not going to debate you on debatable.
We're
I'm just
going
to say that you are wrong. And the most difficult thing is they're going to have to trade Kyrie for someone who can – for a superstar. And of the teams that are on the list, which one of them is dumb enough to send a reliable superstar in exchange for Kyrie Irving? None of them. So, like, I don't see how they're a contender unless their only hope is that Kyrie turns into a reliable person who can show up to work on time.
Yeah.
Like, I don't have a problem if Kyrie has these other interests. That's cool. Do your thing. But what we're not going to do is win a championship until you figure that out. So that's that.
Wow. It's an impossible situation for them. This is – but part of mortgaging your future – is you've mortgaged your future. Like, how are they surprised by this?
Yeah,
going all in, like, this is what we talk about in football all the time. Like, the actual concept of going all in, it's an actual risk.
Burn the boats. Yeah. Well, you burned the boat.
Guys, we got to unburn this boat. Alabaster. Oh, God.
Oh.
I mean, Jalen Brunson is a more reliable player than Kyrie Irving. Kyrie's a perfect fit for Luka. Why not just sign and trade and flip him?
So did you say fake trade or bad trade?
Fake, bad trade?
Bad was implied.
I don't really understand whose problem that solves.
Is Rick Brunson in the deal too?
Jalen
Brunson?
It solves
the Knicks problem because now they don't have to do the Jalen Brunson thing.
Yeah, I guess.
I mean, it's not the worst trade, Alabaster, but like no one's. I mean, maybe we'll get to a point where all of this trash I'm talking about Jalen Brunson will just explode in my face, kind of like how Dominique is now the mortal enemy of Steph Curry and his associated brands.
Yeah.
But until then, I'm pretty unworried about the Jalen Brunson thing.
Should we entertain Chris Broussard's fake trade? There we go.
About the funniest thing about I'm sorry.
What was Broussard's fake
trade? Chris Broussard had Jimmy Butler going.
Yeah, that's absurd. It's absurd. Why? I mean, I guess it's possible just because, like, maybe they are tired of Jimmy Butler, because, like, that's the rumor in general, is like Jimmy Butler can't be at a place for like multiple years because he wears on people.
Yeah.
But why would you trade that problem
for another guy?
I'm going to bring in someone who it takes much less than 3 seasons to get tired of. I don't know. Yeah. I want to talk about Steph Curry real quick.
Yeah, please. Do you want to relitigate any part of how you are now his mortal enemy?
I'm fine with being his mortal enemy because I don't think he actually takes it as seriously as the fans do. And I'm hesitant to criticize fans because their fanaticism is what allows us to sit here and talk about this. But they be really mad. Like the idea that that Steph Curry deserves an apology for me. Apology for what? Like, what am I apologizing for? Steph Curry, because I didn't believe in him, because I gave reasonable analysis given the circumstances. Steph Curry has an all-star father, believes in him. Fantastic mother, believes in him. Kids, wife, believe in him. The whole damn Bay Area believes in him. I mean, on that segment alone, Marcus Spears believed in him. But I owe him an apology? Fooey.
Wow.
Fooey. Having said that, would you like to apologize?
Yeah, I'm sorry, Steph. You're the man.
I want to bring us back to Kyrie for 1 second. Now that you have apologized to...
extinguish the fire on that boat. Yeah,
the guy who carried your beloved Kevin Durant for a couple years. So what I want to bring us back to Kyrie for a second. Are we sure that you guys aren't just overrating Kyrie? Like, back to the Brunson point, like, okay, Brunson was just the second best player on a team that made the conference finals. The last time Kyrie did that was... 2017. It'll be 6 seasons ago. And like, Kyrie has not been a reliable player since. And like, you have Kevin Durant, you have Ben Simmons, you have Joe Harris, you've got a bevy of talent on that team. Maybe you want a reliable two-way point guard who can hit shots and play off the ball when Simmons is handling. Why? Maybe Kyrie is not the perfect fit and is a bit overrated at this point.
Yeah, I mean, I am of the belief that the Nets are better than we're giving them credit for in our collective sort of show today. I just have the whiplash, I think, of regarding Jalen Brunson as a max player now. Like, that happened like midway through last season when Luka was out and he was very good and the Mavericks were surprisingly good. I don't know, man. I just feel like he's kind of like discount Fred VanVleet without a discount now.
Yeah.
And that, I mean, to me is an issue.
I have the same feeling, and maybe I'm wrong. Maybe he's James Harden and he just needs the ball more for us to see how great he really is. That's possible. And I think the argument that Alabaster just put together is a good one. I think you're right. It's possible that he could be a better fit, but they got swept in the first round.
If
we are willing to accept that is a lateral move or even an improvement, because at least he's going to play in most of the games and he's not going to have like weird off-court issues that distract from the team, that's an improvement. But is it good enough to win them a championship? Because I think that's what they want. I think that's the only measure of success for Kevin Durant at, year 16 in his career. Like, if Jalen Brunson can't do that, then – and I guess maybe – who knows? Anything can happen. They stay healthy. They win it. But it just doesn't feel like a major upgrade. They don't feel like a championship team with that core to me.
I'm in total agreement. When you have KD, the only thing that matters is what raises your ceiling. And KD can go out in the first round on his own. Like, that's he's good enough to where, like, he'll get you to the first round. He can lose in five games, but he can do that by himself. You don't need a second guy for that, okay? But I don't think Brunson is the kind of guy who raises your ceiling. It's like, okay, we're having a different conversation. A reliable Kyrie is. I'm going to really get us off track. A reliable Ben Simmons helps.
Yes.
But that's a lot of ifs. And I just don't see it right now. And this is the downside to that kind of bet on a franchise.
Yeah. I just like how we got Dominique at some point in this segment. I forget how he even got there. He unironically just said fooey.
Yeah.
Fooey.
And that's fooey. That's what I'm gonna take into our weekend,
Alabaster. I'm old, I'm sorry.
Yeah, that coach coming to you with Hova just should have gone with some real older references.
I mean, it was so many sympathy tips. It's like when you leave your hotel room really messy, you just like, or you like have to send a dish back to at the server a bunch of times. Yeah. Like, I tip more if I'm a bad customer than if you give great service.
Is there something that a overworked mid-2000s ACC defensive coordinator could have said to you that would have made you more interested? Like a pop culture thing that he could have connected with
nothing,
you on?
Okay. Nothing. Like, it's the thing. It's like when you're shopping for something in particular, if you're, like, let's say you want some new shorts because it's hot outside, and they come up and say, you know what? This TV show is really great. It seems completely disconnected to me. As weird and nonsensical as that statement I just made is, that's how weird and nonsensical it feels to have someone, when you're at a job interview, essentially, I don't know if you are conducting an interview or you're receiving the interview, you're at a job interview, and they're like, hey, blah, blah, blah. You watch that Debatable show? Like, what are we doing?
Oh, here? Wait. The show that you're talking about that's great is this one. That's yeah. what you're,
that's
no,
what I was
yeah,
going to say.
Are.
That's what defensive coordinators right. now in 2022, they're yeah. greeting recruits at the door and saying, did you guys see Jacoby on Debatable yesterday?
Dominique.
We got two people sitting here, and you and Jacoby.
Dominique, yeah. that was spoken like someone who has been cool their entire life and has never had to make awkward small talk. Like, hey, did you see that episode of that show? Like, must be nice to be cool.
It's not about being cool. It's about like being the best athlete from the time that you're little. Is you don't have to be cool. Whatever you do is cool. And it's like you get away with it. And then you don't have to make small talk because everyone Wait. Comes up to you and like, let's talk about football. I don't have to make any small talk. I am deficient in a small talk arena.
I have a follow-up for that. So you go to Maryland, and you still might be the best player, best athlete on the team. Was Bruce Perry there? He's a good athlete, right?
Stop.
That's a no.
Then you get into the NFL, yeah. and you're not the best athlete on the team. Did you then have to just come up with some small talk?
No. Like, you don't – it's not – it just doesn't make sense to me. Like, it's not small talk. It's talking. Like, small talk to me sounds like when you're having a conversation with someone that you don't really want to have a conversation with, or you're awkward, you're just meeting. Like, that is small talk. Within the football locker room, we have already advanced past all that because we're such a small little subset of society that we know so much about each other without even meeting each other that we skip the small talk. On day that. Two,
we're talking about... The first time you went up to Ray Lewis, you probably said something really weird.
What up, bro?
You got me. You got me.
Happy to be here. Actually, first time you meet Ray Lewis, you don't have to say a damn thing. I'll have you know that Ray Lewis is gonna, he is just gonna hit you with, he's gonna seduce you with his words quicker than you know. You're gonna try to fight it, but next thing you know,
I've met Ray Lewis. Might be a prayer or two as well in there. Might pray with him.
Might be. that's how we are commencing the ongoings. What up, bro? Bow your head, hold my hands.
As we pray for what we call crime.
Yeah. Pablo thinks we're exaggerating. We are not exaggerating.
Nah, the man is a man of the cloth. God-fearing man.
All right, guys. Well, let's actually pivot to some more recruiting. And this is the story of Arch Manning committing to Texas. And my question for you guys, what are the chances that Texas is back?
Can someone tell me if Arch Manning is everything that he's supposed to be? Because I don't have the time to find out, and I just got a lot of news alerts about him now. And Dominique's already said 100%, so someone explain this to me.
Dominique, you want me to start or you?
Nah, you got it, buddy. Okay. It seems like you know more about Arch Manning than I do. I heard the last name and all the hubbub. Mm-hmm. I assume that boy nice.
Fooey and hubbub is what we got so far.
He is. He does have that dog in him. I'm happy to report. I've watched the tape. He does have the dog in him. He is not, if you listen to the recruiting experts who've watched a lot more tape than I have, not probably the best quarterback in this class. I'd probably go to a Malachi Nelson, Nico, who's going to Tennessee. If you believe the rumors, Nico may have reset the NIL market.
He's just one name. His name is Nico.
It's a long
one name, like Prince.
It's a long last name. So we're going with Big Nico in this conversation.
I thought we were friends here, Pablo. I'll have a word with you after the show. Clearly, the man just said Nico. If he had a last name ready, he would have said it, you jerk.
Dante Moore, a big quarterback from Detroit, is in that mix, five-star.
Hold on. We don't got a middle name for Dante? Was it Dante, just Dante Moore? What are we doing?
Cam Newton has taken Dante Moore under his wing in the 7-on-7 circuits, even though he's not from anywhere near where Cam is from. Jaden Rashada is in the mix. I think what most people seem to say, Pablo, is that if you took away the name, Arch Manning would be a high 4-star, maybe a 5-star, depending on the camps he got into. Someone, I was listening to some of the recruiting podcasts yesterday, no big deal. And they were saying that he's going to be a good Power 5 starter. That's the ceiling on him. I don't think this is a generational prospect. I think earlier in his high school career, it looked like that may have been the case, but it looks like some of these other guys are the ones who are maybe in the Bryce Young type zone where he's going to come on as a redshirt freshman and have an instant kind of national champion type impact.
Was that straw paper?
No, it's plastic.
You're trying to kill the turtles.
Yeah.
Arch Manning. I mean, I think to be able to secure, I don't know. Like, to me, it sounds like where we are headed with NIL is back to the recruiting conversation off the jump street. Don't tell me that you listen to Lil Baby or Mariah the Scientist, who I learned who that was a couple weeks ago.
I thought you made that up.
It's a real person, and I was shocked. But anyway, that's not going to impress me. Tell me where the cash at.
Yes.
That's what it comes down to. And that's why I would say that maybe 100% is aggressive, but the cash is in Texas. They got cash. They got money for days. So if bringing Arch Manning in is only going to lead to them getting more money and more prestige. So if they aren't back yet, they're going to be back soon unless they just blow it and they keep singing that stupid racist song.
They might blow it. It might blow it. There's one point I wanted to make, because a lot of the folks have pointed out it's not getting Arch the player, it's getting Arch the hype machine and what that brings. And now the 5-star left tackle is going to say, I want to go to the league. I want to block for this guy who everybody's talking about. I mean, we're not doing debatable segments on Malachi or Nico, right? I mean, we could with the NIL stuff, but we're going to put that aside for a second. we all love Nico here. That's why we're going to learn his last name for the next show. But like the way it was put, Bud Elliott said this yesterday on CBS, the quarterbacks name the group chat. Like that's their role in all of this. And you know that Arch Manning is texting a bunch of guys and saying, come play with me. We got all the hype. Every scout in the country is going to come to me. And I think that means something for recruiting. So it's not just Arch, the high 4-star, if you took his name off, it's Arch, the brand, and that matters in recruiting.
Peyton's going to show up to some games. Peyton seems to really like to go to amateur athletics. He'll be out there, him and Eli. That'll be cool. That's hype is always good.
I gotta rename our group chat real quick and show.
There's Nico.
To whatever Nico's last name is.
Yeah. Oh yeah, there he is, Nico.
I'm going to cancel that group chat as soon as you try to assert some Gen Z dominance over this millennial group chat. Yep,
definitely the quarterback here. Got it.
I know I'm starting this, so I can't see this.
You, Pablo, I'll give you that. You are the quarterback, but we run an old school offense where you hand it to me. You say hike, then you hand it to me and you get your ass out the way. Don't get hurt. Your play action, I don't care what the analytics say. Your play action is built off of the threat of the running game. What's next?
Wow.
What's next is something that we didn't think was going to be top last year, and that's Shohei Ohtani, who is sort of Babe Ruth all over again, and he has been going off lately. He had multiple home run games. He followed it up with the dominant pitching performance. And my question, or really a statement that I want you to finish, if Shohei Ohtani does something unbelievable again tonight, then blank.
If Shohei Ohtani does something unbelievable again tonight, then I feel like our political system's a little log jammed right now. I was going to say we should get legislation to get him off the Anaheim Angels or the Los Angeles Angels of Ion, whatever they're called now. Because this is, we know a version of what happens, right? And it's the Mike Trout story. And this is better than Mike Trout, but the idea that you have him and he's just like relegated to the C block of a great television show. That is a fake television show. Excuse me. That is a problem. It really is. Like, there could be a lot more juice with this squeeze, and instead 8 innings, 13 strikeouts. It's like, yeah, cool. Great. All right.
If they were good,
if he played for the Yankees, would he be anything before the, like, maybe gets ahead of the Arch Manning question? It's just a baseball problem at this point.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's different if he plays for the Yankees. Honestly, like I do think, I laugh when people say that we're in like a world where it doesn't matter what part of the country you're in. because it absolutely matters. Like, there are more people to care about what you're doing here, and there are more people who, like, matter, frankly, about impacting culture in general, who will care if you're in a...
All states matter.
Nah, not the same if you are in those states. So, like, I do think it would matter. It still may not knock out the NBA draft, but it would matter if he was in a big city. I guess my question is, do you think it would matter if they were good? Like, I don't know that it would matter.
I think it would, because when you get into October, you reach a different stratosphere, and 20 million people are watching you. Even if it's the ALCS, even if it's the ALDS, people are getting to know who you are. I mean, like, I remember, as far as visibility goes, because I look at traffic all the time, no one really knew who Richard Sherman was, even though he was the best cornerback in football for a while, other than Dominique Foxworth, who was on the other side of the country at that point, until he plays in January, makes that play, and everybody says, oh, this is a super-duper star, which he remained for another decade. Playoff games matter.
You know, I agree, but before Alabaster comes in and hopefully says the same thing, we have an opportunity to talk about how great he is, and we're just talking about how no one cares how great he is.
I have a follow-up question, Alabaster, off of that also, as I acknowledge what Dominique is saying by doing exactly that. Kevin just dropped that he looks at traffic all the time. What does that mean?
It means I actually can't do it. I can look at some of, like, the podcast stuff, like the numbers, and I can look at, like, but I can't look at the article traffic anymore. And the WSJ was much easier. So you can see, like, the teams people care about. And, like, there are certain teams that, like, college is amazing because there's really only five teams that anybody cares about. NFL is a little different, but you can write about certain teams, and it's like, no. Like, I believe ESPN once revealed that the most searched teams, 1 through 31, are all NFL teams. And then it's the Jaguars who are not in the top 32.
Oh, I would have guessed it was all the Dallas Cowboys, but 31 iterations of typos for Dallas Cowboys.
No, I think it's like 1 through 31, and then like the Lakers, and then the Jaguars are like 40th. ESPN once revealed this.
Oh, yeah, I would have gone like Dallas Cowboys would be like the second most popular.
I'm looking at the analytics. I don't care if the article has
Dominique,
that dog
Kevin out. Clark, he stats us down. He listens to recruiting podcasts. He looks at traffic SEO trends. He wears a blazer. Alabaster, we steamrolled you.
Do not shortchange me.
We would never imply that you are wearing shorts and shortchange you literally and figuratively. Alabaster, sorry, but not sorry.
Nope. No time for Allie.
Saved by the Bell is about to rant about the Yankees.
Oh, God.
To quote a very old Dominique Foxworth, hot diggity dog, we made it to the weekend. Fooey and flim flam and everything else old people say.
Hot dog, hot dog, hot diggity dog. Very young person thing to sing. Mickey Mouse
Clubhouse. You about to rap? Oh,
no, it's from Mickey Mouse Clubhouse. Don't be racist. Oh, good job. Good job, Kevin. Wow. Way to not have any emotional reaction to that. Well schooled.